So they asked me to continue from the seminar we gave yesterday. Is that working? It's turned off? Okay, if you bring it, I can, because it's got a password, so you bring up it. Is it plugged in? Without the slides, let's continue. We'll just say Mangalacharya, and then we'll take it further in terms of what we're planning to do this session. Okay, so again, begging the blessings of Maharaj and all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. So we're going to go a bit further along the journey that we began this morning. How many of you were not here in the morning, for morning class? I just want a show of hands. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll begin by recapping some of the things that we discussed. So we're all up to speed and go forward from there. So we began this morning by reading Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 25. In that particular verse, Krishna is talking about many things, but he says, of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, japa. And in the purport, Prabhupada is speaking about how the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the purest representation of Krishna. It is not different from Krishna. So then we started to look a little bit, and I want us to go into this discussion a bit more. And I think we should make it very much interactive. Maybe I'm conscious also that when we use the microphone, it may slow things down. So what we'll try and do is we'll try and do this without the microphone. But what I'm going to ask you to do is speak nice and loud so that everyone can hear you. And the reason why we're going to take this approach is based upon a premise that we shared this morning. And that is that as an international society for Krishna consciousness, we hear so much. And that is wonderful. But we want to take it as deeply as possible. And one of the ways in which we're meant to take it deeply is to really follow through on some of the stages which are given in our literatures. It is a fact that within our movement, often, we don't really understand what we've been given. And because we don't understand what we've been given, we don't really value it properly. And these four stages are just one simple example. So one Prabhupada disciple who was interacting with educationalists in the outside world, he shared with them these four stages. So Shravana, that we begin by hearing knowledge. Manana, what we hear, we really take the time to reflect upon that. Nididhyasana, once we've reflected upon it, we start to pull it into practice. We start to tangibly do something, act on what we've learned. And Vandanam. Vandanam means prayer. So we understand the first three stages are around our endeavor. We're making an endeavor to connect with the teachings of Krishna through hearing, meditating on Krishna's teachings, and pulling Krishna's teachings into our own practice. But the fourth stage is really calling upon the Lord for mercy. I'm going to make the endeavor, but unless you give me your mercy, I will not be able to be perfect in what I'm trying to do. Because what I'm trying to do is to develop or rediscover my dormant, loving relationship with you. So it's a relationship. That means that there are two people involved in that relationship. We can try to pursue Krishna, try to engage in a relationship with Krishna, but he has to, by his own sweet will, reciprocate with that relationship. So when this devotee was sharing these four stages with these educationalists, they were flabbergasted. They said it's a brilliant framework for education. The reason why it's a brilliant framework for education is because when we act in our spiritual life in this way, it is increasingly transformative. How many of you in this room know a devotee or know devotees who've been practicing for a long time and they haven't really changed much? Anyone know devotees like that? Okay. Anyone know devotees who you think are a bit stuck in their spiritual life? Be honest. Okay. It's actually good, because if I ask this question in London, a lot more hands go up, which is interesting. To be really honest. But it can happen. And there are a number of reasons. One of them is that we often fail to digest the philosophy. And through these four stages, we're meant to digest the philosophy. Then we also mentioned this morning how Krishna consciousness is really a mission. It's a missionary activity as well. The mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to spread the teachings of Krishna consciousness to every town and to every village. So there's a lot of activity. But with the activity, there also must be depth. And sometimes we have a culture where it can be easier to run around doing things than to actually really develop your Krishna consciousness, internalizing it. Yeah? So sometimes it's easier to do that, and you can get all the prestige from the devotees. Oh my God, they've done this, they've done that, they've done this, they've done that. But at the end of the day, when we look at our level of Krishna consciousness, it may not be so strong. So what we then wanted to do, and what we were doing with one of the prayers that Marge shared with us yesterday, was we were doing a prayerful reading. Just like if you want to relish a meal, you take one mouthful after the other, but you don't just throw it into your mouth and swallow. You take it. In ancient cultures, this was what was done. In ancient cultures, there was no such thing as eating food. It was really about honoring the Lord's grace. So the activity was done in a very meditative state. The person would sit down properly, make sure that they're calm and peaceful. There would be no disturbing discussions at lunchtime, because it was understood that when you have talks on very disturbing subject matter, it also affects the digestion. And then in that meditative state, the food would be served very nicely in a very sattvic environment. And then one, very peacefully, bit by bit, is honoring the remnants of Krishna's own plate. And Prabhupada would often do that as well. He would sit in that space and just really relish Krishna in the form of prasadam. But Krishna's prasadam is everywhere, because everything in this movement is a manifestation of Krishna's mercy. So in a similar way that we do that with the food, or with the foodstuffs which have been offered, we can do that with our philosophy. Yeah? We can take it bit by bit and really digest it. What is Prabhupada saying? What is Krishna saying? How do I understand this? How do I apply this in my own life? And the more that we do that, the more depth we have in our Krishna consciousness. The more depth, and also the more transformation that we can experience in our Krishna consciousness as well. So there was one particular verse that we were using this morning, which I will bring out. And we were going through that verse step by step, just to read through and to really meditate on what is actually being given to me by our teachings. Because the idea being that the verse was like a sutra. A sutra is almost like, it's like wisdom that's packed up into one really short seed-like form. And then by your concentration, the seed is starting to blossom and unfold, and everything that was packed up in the seed starts to unfold before us. And the idea is that when we do this with our teachings, we can have tremendously greater depth in our Krishna consciousness. Okay, so this was some of the ideas. We also talked about the fact that for many of us as devotees, the way that we live Krishna consciousness is often in the mode of passion or the mode of ignorance. We gave the example of one person who was born in the movement. Well, this is a slightly different point, but we also talked about one person who was born in the movement. And when they would do something wrong as a young boy, his punishment was that the parents would tell him, go and stand in the corner and chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, so very unfortunate. So as a result, the situation has created what we call a negative emotional trigger for that person. Whenever he reaches for his bead bag, it's that negative experience. It's that experience of shame, correction, chastisement, and then we're trying to get that person to feel inspired in their chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Now that's an extreme example. But many devotees have that challenge. because of how we've positioned the name in relation to our life. Okay? And we ask devotees, just a show of hands, we ask devotees, when you're come to chanting your japa, how do you feel, or what comes to mind? And for many devotees, it was maybe a bit of stress, something I've got to do. You know, it's the different emotions, the different experiences. But we also shared how ultimately the holy name is blissful. So what we're trying to do in our practice of Krishna consciousness is to uncover the holy name in its pure form, to reconnect with the holy name as it truly is. And we were having just a Q&A before the class. So there are also quite a few devotees here who are new or young. So it's also it's a good opportunity to protect your chanting, to protect it with very good habits so that these things don't become an obstacle in the first place. Okay? So, what we also discussed this morning and where we're going to take this class is that we all come in with different types of karma because we've all had different previous lives. We all come in with different types of natures, different mentalities. And that's a blessing, but it can also be a challenge for the devotees. Because when we're in community with devotees, everyone has their unique nature, personality. What's easy for one person may be very difficult for the other person. And because we're very unique individuals, we may not understand each other. Why do they have to be like this? Why does she have to do that all the time? Why can't she be more like me? Why does Prabhu have to do this? Why doesn't he behave like this? And this can be the source of sometimes conflict or misunderstanding amongst devotees. Ultimately, Prabhupada says, Atmavam Manyate Jagat. He says, everyone sees the world from their own perspective. Now, the other side of that is that because we are individuals, different things will enliven us, especially as we come forward in our chanting of the holy names. And what we wanted to do for this session is take a step on a journey. And that is the step on the journey of finding out what things help me to be absorbed in my spiritual practice of chanting. Okay? Our acharyas have given an extraordinary range of teachings, different techniques and different practices that can help us to move forward on the journey. That's a great blessing, but it can also be overwhelming. Because we may sometimes think there's so many different things I can do, but you know, Thakur says this, and then another, you know, one of the Goswamis says this, and then someone else says this, and there's this prayer, there's that prayer, there's this to read, there's that to read. Where do I begin? In one sense, it's really ultimately about what's going to inspire us. So we wanted you to do a few interactive things, a few practices to get a feel for different things, but this time in a very meditative and reflective way. So we're going to try a few different approaches to chanting. We're going to start though with a guided meditation. Okay? And this guided meditation, anyway, I'll do it, and then I'm going to ask you a few questions about what you experienced also afterwards, because you may find this quite interesting. So, before we start chanting, I'm going to ask everyone to sit up straight. Okay. And then I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm just going to ask you just to spend some time just with your eyes closed. And just allow yourself to relax a bit. Allow any challenges, any tension, any stress from the day to just gently fall down through your body, out through the ground, and away from you once and for all. Just let yourself relax. Give your body permission to relax even more. And just feel yourself calm, more peaceful, and just allow yourself to be centered in that space of relaxation and calm. And what we're going to do in this exercise is we're going to go on a journey. And this first stage of the journey is just to reflect in this world. We have a certain body. In this world, the body has a certain age. It has a certain gender. The body has a certain nationality, ethnicity. But for the duration of this exercise, what I'd like you to do is just recognize this truth that has been given to us through the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, the first truth that Krishna gives to Arjuna, is that even though you have a body, even though you have a physical body, this body isn't us. It is something that we're carrying in this world. So for the duration of this exercise, I just want to let you, encourage you, to just park the body. For the duration of this exercise, we're going to leave the body, and we're going to go further on our journey. Okay? So, just let the bodily identification just loosen up, relax, and however you visualize it, let the bodily identification fall away. So from now, we're not this physical body at all. For the duration of this exercise, allow yourself to be in that space that you're not the body. And because you're not the body, you have no responsibilities as a man, father, protector, no responsibilities as a woman, mother, wife. For the duration of this meditation, just let any and all bodily identifications just fall away. Just fall away. And then we're going to take it a step further. We have a mind. We have a certain type of material identity. Material ego. But again, for the duration of this exercise, I want you to consider that even this conditioned personality that I use in the world, who has certain desires, certain fears, certain concerns. For the duration of this exercise, we're going to ask you just to let that go. So we're not the body. We're also going to let go of any identification with the mind. Just completely loosen, relax, and let go of any and all physical and mental identities. And I'm going to ask you to connect with the deepest understanding that in this room, each and every one of us are exclusively, and therefore I mean only, an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I just want you to let yourself settle in that identity. We've parked the bodily identification. We've let go of the mental, emotional, psychophysical identification. Just let them go. And we sit in this room exclusively as eternal servants of Krishna. 22, to allow yourself to be comfortable in that realization. And we're going to take it to the next step. I want you to allow yourself to reflect, to understand that there is someone in your heart, a supremely attractive person who loves you, who knows you completely, and who's always been with you and seen your successes, your challenges, and is always intensely longing to bring you back to him, to a place in life where you're intensely happy, blissful. I want you to reflect on that supreme Krishna in the heart. And I want you to reflect on the time that he came through for you. A time where you needed help, you needed something, and he arranged it. He helped you in some way, shape or form. And I want you to connect again with how it felt when you remembered how Krishna had reached out to you and helped you, protected you, gave you some kind of insight or blessing. And I just want you to connect back again with that time. And I want you to connect with whatever positive feelings that were in your heart when you remember how Krishna lovingly touched your life, lovingly manifested to help you in some way, shape or form. And as you connect with that, reconnecting with that positive feelings, whatever they were, whether it was gratitude, whether it was appreciation, whether it was wonder, whether it was amazement, whatever you felt at that time, when you realize, my God, Krishna's helping me, or Krishna's done something, Krishna's arranged this. And we all have those sweet moments in our life where some kind of Krishna miracle happened. And I want you, as you think about this and as you reflect on this, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to chant Krishna's names, but this time connecting with that feeling, that remembrance that's alive in your heart. And we're going to do this for a few minutes, and then we're going to move on to the next thing. So after three, I'm going to ask you to chant, but this time your chanting is going to be connected with the feelings that you hold in your heart, personal feelings, based upon a personal reciprocation that you experience from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm going to ask you to chant based upon the personal feelings that you have for Krishna, based upon the personal way in which he reached out to you, helped you, and showed his affection and presence to you. And we'll chant for a few minutes, and then we'll reconvene at the count of three. One, two, three. Please chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Keep your eyes closed and keep connected to that feeling that you have for Krishna, remembering how Krishna really helped you personally, something he did for you personally. And based upon that, chant his names with the feelings that you have for him, based upon how he came into your life and helped you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Stay connected to your feelings for Krishna based upon your personal reciprocation from Krishna. Chant from your heart based upon your personal feelings for Krishna. Chant from your heart based upon your personal feelings for Krishna, based upon your personal experiences with Krishna and the way that He helped you, the way that He showed His kindness, His affection and His love for you. And chant with that feeling. Chant from your heart. Chant in remembrance of that wonderful association, how Krishna personally cared for you and showed His affection for you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to finish. At the count of three, I'm going to ask you to finish that round, that mantra, and then we're going to do something a bit further on. So after three, I'm going to ask you to finish. One, two, three. Stay in the meditative space. Stay in that meditative space and just reflect on what you did. Reflect on how it felt to chant Krishna's names, but with a sense of feeling for Krishna and a feeling which was based upon some real experience, some real way in which Krishna touched your life and touched your heart. Okay? So just stay in the meditative space and just reflect. How did that feel? How did that feel when I chanted Krishna's names, but in remembrance of some wonderful affection that He had given or shown me? How did that feel when I chanted in that way? Okay. And I'm going to ask you to open your eyes. And what I'm going to ask you to do, and I'm just going to give you about, let's say, 2 to 3 minutes to do this, I want you to turn to someone who's sitting next to you. And I want you to share two things. I want you to share what was the experience that you recalled, that where Krishna had come and given, shown you some care, some reciprocation, some affection. So share that. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, how did it feel to chant in that way? How did it feel to chant when you were reconnecting with Krishna in that mood of gratitude or that mood of connection from the heart? So just share the answer to these two questions with someone next to you, the men on the, with the men's side, the women on the women's side. We'll give you 2 to 3 minutes, and then I'm going to take it to a next step. 2 to 3 minutes, over to you. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'm going to ask everyone to refocus again, please. So, let's look into this. So we did a few things. First of all, we did a meditation that helped us to let go of what we sometimes call the upadis, the different identifications of the body. Then we focused in on the fact that we are only, exclusively a servant of Krishna. Then we asked you to reflect on the time that Krishna had personally reciprocated with you in some way, shape or form. And we all have those experiences. There was some situation or you had some difficulty, you needed something and suddenly it just appeared, whatever it is. Then we asked you to chant from that space. First of all, is that the way that we normally chant as devotees?
No.
Okay. That's the first realization. But we want to discuss this, we want to churn this a bit, because again, there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, those who explain the supreme secret to my devotees, they are the most dear to me. So everyone here is a devotee. Confirmation. Everyone here is a devotee. So we're going to share with each other. When you chanted in this way, how did it feel? Let's start there. What was your experience?
Calm, peaceful.
Okay. Calm, peaceful. Anyone else? More grateful. Why more grateful? Sometimes the way that the material energy is, we can forget how many times Krishna's helped us. How many situations. But one of the ways in which we can deepen that remembrance is this reflection. And if we reflect on how he's come through for me in so many ways, shapes or forms, and then we chant, it can, as you said, increase the gratitude. You've mentioned it was peaceful as well. What else did you experience when you were chanting in this way? So we began by reflecting. It wasn't something new. We're not asking you to have a new experience. This is your experience of your life and how Krishna's come through for you on many occasions. Many occasions. Then we said, okay, remember that and now chant. What was different?
More focused.
More focused. Why was it more focused?
I don't know, because the mind was not interfering with the holy name.
Yeah. The other reason why the mind didn't interfere with the holy name is because we got you into a bit of a calm space before you chanted. And this goes back to what was being said earlier. If our lifestyle is too stressful, what happens is I'm stressed and now I'm trying to focus. Ideally, that's especially why the morning hours are so good. It's meant to be before you start thinking about all the other things that you have to do. Make sense? Yeah. So the point is that whenever we create a space where the mind's a bit more peaceful, then when you chant, you can really focus. Because the mind isn't disturbed thinking about all these other things. Okay? So just as one takeaway, try to think, how can I create that space inside so that when I'm chanting, I'm not disturbed by all these other things that I've got to do. And if I don't get it done, oh my God, I've got a job, I've got this to do. How do I create that space in my life so when I sit down, I remember I'm not my job, I'm not anything else, I'm just a servant of Krishna. How else did you... What other benefits did you get when you chanted in this way? We're going to go in the, drill into it a bit more. What other difference did you feel when you chanted, having created a peaceful space and remembering I'm chanting and I'm calling upon the person who's really been kind to me and helped me out again and again and again in my life? Any other experiences that you had? Yes?
Faith increased.
Your faith increased. Why did it increase?
Because the relationship.
Yeah. So there's one principle of chanting is sometimes called chanting in Sambandha. So what you practice was chanting in Sambandha because you remembered the relationship before you started the practice of the chanting. Yeah. So very, very interesting, simple thing you can do even before you're chanting. Just remember, who am I chanting to? It's not the Supreme Personality of God, it is not a philosophy. The Supreme Personality of God, it is a person. And that person has actually done a lot for each and every one of us. Yeah? That name is also a person who's constantly giving, constantly kind. But if we don't remember, then we chant in a different way. But when we remember, it changes the practice. Okay? Okay. We're going to do another practice. It's almost 10 minutes to... Oh, no, we won't do another practice because I promised I'd finish at 5 o'clock. It's okay, we'll do something different. I'll fast forward it. But you get the sense. But the last thing I want to do actually captures a few things together. And so this is an exercise that was practiced, which was done in a japa retreat. Very simple exercise, but very effective. And to do this exercise, I'm going to give an example. I'm going to ask, Prabhu, what's your name? Mahaprabhu Gora. I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to stand up and come to the front. Okay. So this last exercise is based upon the fact that we all actually, if we're very honest with ourselves, we know what we're doing well in our chanting, and if we're very honest with ourselves, we know where we're struggling or making mistakes in our chanting. So for this exercise, and you have to follow this very carefully, otherwise you may be a little bit confused about this exercise, okay? So in this exercise, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to pair up with someone. Okay? I'm going to ask you to get into pairs. Okay. And then, like, for example, Mahaprabhu Gora. So I'm pairing up with Mahaprabhu Gora. And we're going to do 2 5-minute exercises. Same exercise, but 5 minutes. So for the first exercise, let's say I'm person A. Okay, so I'm person A. Mahaprabhu Gora is person B. Okay, for the exercise, I'm going to pretend to be him. Right, so if I'm pretending to be him, what's my name? Mahaprabhu Gora. Good. Right? Yes. And Mahaprabhu Gora is going to take the position of the holy name. Just for this exercise. So then, Mahaprabhu Gora is going to ask the holy name, dear holy name, please help me. What am I doing well in my chanting? And also, what can I do to improve my chanting? What do you want me to do? What should I be doing to come closer to you and develop my relationship with you? Okay? So, I will take the position of my partner. My partner the first time. There's 2 rounds. So, first time, I will take the position of my partner. My partner will take the position of the holy name. So then, Mahaprabhu Gora is asking the holy name, what do I need to do to improve? And then the holy name is going to tell Mahaprabhu Gora whatever he understands I need to be working on. Okay? So the second time, Mahaprabhu Gora will be who? Bhuta Bhavna. And Bhuta Bhavna will be who? The holy name. So you ask me how I can improve the relationship. Just do that.
How can you improve the relationship?
How can I improve my relationship with you? Yep, so he's asking the holy name. And I'll say, Bhuta Bhavna, what I see you doing well is I think that it's good that you're doing more seminars on the holy name, because this will help you to understand better how to improve. I think you should do more of that. I also notice that you tend to chant later in the day. You need to change that habit, because by doing that, it's actually holding you back from the relationship. Yep. So it's actually an introspective exercise. It's based upon the fact that deep down, every single one of us, you do know what you're doing well, and you actually do know what you need to change. Yeah? Now, it's one thing if someone else tells you, you hear it and say, yes, it's a nice class, let's go and have some prasadam. But if you reflect on this yourself, and you hear yourself saying that, it can have a different quality. Yeah? So the whole idea of this exercise and all these exercises, we're on this journey of transformation. Okay? So the idea is you're going to pair up, It'll be about 3 minutes each way, and please make it 3 minutes because otherwise I'll get in trouble. No, I'm joking. But but 3 minutes each way. But you pair up, and 3 minutes one way. So first of all, Mahaprabhu Gaura. Sorry, the holy name is telling Mahaprabhu Gaura what he can do to improve, and then 3 minutes, the holy name is telling Bhuta Bhavana what he can do to improve. Is that clear as an exercise? First of all, okay. So this is the last exercise, but before you start, one last thing before you begin. When you do this, please listen, before you begin, when you do this, take it very seriously and be very, very honest. Be very honest in what you're sharing, and anything that you hear, make a mental note or write it down. Okay? So whatever you learn from the exercise, make a mental note or write it down and try to make one or two of those changes to bring yourself into a closer relationship with the Holy Name. Okay, over to you for the next 6 minutes. Okay. You can do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so we're going to pause there. It's 5 o'clock, so we're going to end on time. But hopefully the exercise will have given you some insights into what you're doing well, and also some things that you can do to improve. And because you've heard yourself say it, you may have found that some interesting things came up as well that we could do. So think, what's the change? What's something that I could do differently? Whether it's do more of or less of, that can help me in my relationship with the Holy Name. Okay. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srinam Prabhu Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jani Tagore Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo.
Now, dear devotees, we will just kindly ask for a little patience because we have something special for you in the next 10 minutes. And it is because we learned a lot here, we saw a lot here, and we want to wrap it up before we leave this holy place to make a little play for you. So what do you think about it? A little play for... Yes? Yeah? So as usual, we practice this minimum. So correspondence, I hope that you will not notice any mistakes we do. So yeah, just pray for us and give us your blessings.
Okay, so Hare Krishna. So we have an exciting presentation for you all now. I think it's something that you'll all be free of after being in a session with Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu. Yeah. But what we've got here, what we've got is some examples of inattentive japa for you all. So if you have a pen, a piece of paper or your phone, maybe you could write a list of the ones that you've done before. I've definitely done a lot of these before. So the first one is actually a combination of two different types of inattentive japa. One that we call to-do list japa, combined with creative japa. So take it away, team.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
It's Monday.
Krishna, electricity. Oh my God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Oh my God, my wife will kill me. But I don't care. Bye. Bye.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, that would be good. I'm so busy, you don't have time for...
Maybe I can catch some vibe.
So what we saw there was a devotee trying to meditate on his to-do list while chanting, sometimes adding items to his to-do list, sometimes deleting, and also sometimes trying to add a person in his life. So if anyone looking for a husband, then... You might want to look elsewhere, but... And also brainstorming while doing japa, so... I don't think either of these things are recommended. But I'm sure it's something that we've all done at one point or another. The next one is a great title. You ready? I Hate Him Japa. So what we saw here was 16 rounds increasing not love of Krishna, but 16 rounds increasing the hatred. So our bhakta here developed excellent plans and strategies to take over his person that he hates. Probably. The next one is I Am Right Japa. How many people can relate with this type of japa? You want to raise your hand? Haridas style. The other name that was here was Pump Your Ego Japa. Yeah, the next one. The next one is Beat the Clock Japa. Give it up for the new record, 16 rounds in 45 minutes. Remember, japa is to clean the heart, not to try and beat the clock. The next one is robot japa.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
create a robot who chants my mantras for me. He bothers around.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. A round of applause for our robot. So what we see here is a robot chanting while disconnected from the mood. So Maharaj has given us lots of tips on what mood to develop while chanting, so hopefully we won't end up in this situation for much longer. The next one is boredom japa. Boredom japa ki. The next one is driving japa. Every morning we hear that one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. I'm not sure whether that was a humble state of mind, and I mean meditating on the sense objects. swiftly moving on. So the next one is again a combination of two. No japa, japa, combined with prajalpa, japa. So we are supposed to move the beads, and we are supposed to move our tongues and our lips, but we're supposed to say the holy name, not to converse with one another while chanting, so one to keep in mind. The next one is left hand japa.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Oh, I don't have spicy time, I need fire. Okay. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Bhagavat Prabhu sent me message. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Wow, it's great. Wow.
Tomorrow we'll be party. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Oh, car is dirty.
Yes, I want to wash my car. What is with this paper? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Maybe I can put in.
My right hand is stronger. Maybe I can a little bit practice some exercise. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Anyone? Left hand japa ki. It's definitely useful for developing strength in the left arm. Definitely useless for developing love of Krishna. The next one is new mantra japa. So we hear in the Bhagavatam the story of Ajamil cries out for his son Narayan at the time of death. I think this devotee, if he continues chanting in this way, the Yamadutas may not come. Four different personalities will come instead. We've got Snik, Nish, Wam and Ari will come to save you. New mantra japa. So the next one is entertainment japa. Just a side note, entertainment japa also includes not watching Mayapur TV whilst chanting. Okay, so we've had there, I think, almost 13 different types of inattentive japa. The list could go on, but I'm sure we're getting hungry. So what we'll go for now is a refreshing change from inattentive japa to something which is more akin to attentive japa.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare